If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 27, verse 22. Certainly appreciate all the messages in song this morning. One of these days we will lay down that body of clay. But you know, if we are a child of God, that'll be a sought after day to get to go and be with the Lord. Let me give you the context. They were trying Jesus, and the scripture tells us that the governor answered and said, whether of these two, either Barnabas or Barabbas or Jesus, should be released. And they all cried out, Barabbas, let him go. And then he asked the question, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all said unto him, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. The question that determines destiny, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ this morning? In Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. A man may not fear death, but a man is foolish who is not a Christian that does not fear that which comes after death. I remember the story where there was a young pilot over in Germany during World War II, and they were flying their planes when all of a sudden a group of Messerschmitt's German planes came out of the sky, and he got hit. And he was trying to make it back to base, and smoke was coming out of the plane's engine. And he was asked, after he got back, what was he worried about? What did he fear most? Did you fear dying? And he said, no, I didn't really fear dying. What did you fear most? He said, I feared that which comes after death. I feared that most. Man may be brave as he faces the dangers of this world, but it's another thing entirely when he stands before the God that he has spurned in life. And the Bible says that the broad way is the way that the majority are going. So the majority of this world are going to hear the words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I do not know you. Man would be very foolish not to fear that which comes after death. Today, men pay a lot of money for fortune tellers, soothsayers, individuals that they think can tell them what's going to happen in the future. But I think all of us that are here today understand and know that the only way that we can know what is going to happen in the future is by the Word of God. And when we look to the Word of God, it tells us not only what will happen here in this life, but also what will happen when this life is over. The Bible tells us that our salvation comes in this world or not at all. The great question of today is, what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? What shall I do with him? Well, there's two things that you can do. You can either receive him as Savior and Lord of your life, or you can reject him and spend all eternity in a devil's hell. That doesn't seem very encouraging, does it? You see, it's that answer that we give to that question which will determine our destiny. I want us to look at the certainty of this judgment. The Bible teaches us that there will be a time of justice and judgment. That is, he is a God of love, but he is also a God of justice. And people have a tendency to grab hold of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. Amen. It reminds us of the fact that God, his justice, demands that sin be punished. But you know, he made provision for our sinfulness when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for the sins of all the world. It was predetermined before the foundations of the world was laid that he was going to come and die for the sins of the world. Even before you and I were born, he already determined that he'll come and die for us because he loves us. That's how much God hates sin. He hates it so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when a person rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, they reject heaven's jewel, the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, God kicked them out. And when Cain slew his brother Abel, God kicked him out. God described the old world like this, that God who hates sin, he sent Noah to warn them 120 years. He preached a message of impending judgment. And yet they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't listen to what God's man had to say. I'm going to remind you that it's not any different today. Churches are shrinking in size and number. Churches are shutting their doors. People are not concerned about the spiritual anymore. But I do want to remind you that the Bible is true. Jesus Christ is coming back again the second time, and we need to be ready to meet him. God drowned the old world in a flood, and he burned the cities of the plains with fire and brimstone. And the Lord is one that says, I am the Lord, I change not. What he has done in the past, he does today. God hates sin. I can just tell you this morning from the depths of my heart that the one thing that God hates the most is sin. And the fact that he gave his son to die for our sins, what a love that he must have had. Ecclesiastes 11:9 said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things, God will call you into judgment. Do we realize this morning that as we go through this life, now up to the age of accountability, they're covered. But when they reach the age of accountability, they become responsible for their own lives. And a person then has the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus as personal Savior or reject him. The choice is every individual. Now, God loves you, that we know. God hates sin, that we know. And he's made provision for your sin when he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. So all he asks for you to do is come and accept the free gift of salvation. And if you will do that, he'll receive you, he'll forgive you, and cleanse you of all your sins. You see, we're a free moral agent. You do what you want to do, don't you? You decide to come to church. You decide to do this. You decide to do that. You're a free moral agent. You determine what you're going to do with your life. And the same thing is true. And I don't understand how that a person, when the gospel invitation is extended and Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And we grab hold of that pew and we hang on for dear life like something bad's going to happen up there. But you see, God is reaching down, wanting to pull us up out of sin and wash us white as snow. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, it says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything then in our lives we're going to have to give an account to God for that we've done down here. You know, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, don't you? I want to hear the Lord say, you're my child, and say to the Father, Father, this is one of mine. He accepted or she accepted me as personal Savior. You see, it's important that we accept Christ in this life. If we don't, there will be no second chances after death. Well, the nature of this judgment. The Bible tells us in Acts 17:31, it is an appointed day, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Now, God keeps his appointments. You see, he appointed the days and the night, and they come with clock-like precision. He appointed the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they're never out of place. He appointed the seasons, and they come in regular order. You see, he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. God keeps his appointments. Have you ever had an appointment and then forgot to keep it? I think probably all of us have at some point in time in our life. But you know, God never fails to keep his appointment. I'm convinced that he's already got written down on his calendar of eternity when Jesus Christ, his Son, is going to come back again the second time. I'm convinced that he knows and he's ready and he's trying to do everything that he can to get men, women, boys, and girls to come and be saved before it's too late. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, this day is man's day, but Christ's day is coming. You can do as you want today. In fact, you can walk over the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You can do despite to the spirit of grace. You can literally just spit in the face of Jesus today. But there's coming a day. When the Bible said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, will come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he will execute judgment. On that day, the Bible says it'll be a day of wrath. Today is a day of mercy and grace. Aren't you glad that we can come to church today and we can hear the gospel preached? The invitation is extended, and you can walk out a sinner and walk all the way down to the front and kneel at the altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins, and I want you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior right now. And you know he'll do that, because today is a day of mercy and grace. But there's coming a time when the wrath of God will be all that is left. I remember reading the story about a man that was trying to get away from the rising waters of the flood in the antediluvian world. He was doing everything he could to get to higher ground, and that's what men do. We all try to live and not die. And he kept trying to get to higher ground, something to take hold of, something to cling to, in order that he might live and not die. But I can tell you, this time comes to every man, every person. The time when we stand before God. Medical science cannot give us another breath. Medical science cannot give us another heartbeat. It is appointed unto a man once to die, and when that time comes, you're going to die. But it's also appointed after this, the judgment. There comes a time when this old physical life is over. And we know that we will stand before God to account for our life. That time had come for all of those back during the days of the flood. I know that they cried out for mercy. They climbed as high as they could. They hung on to every tree. They clung to every rock, only to find that the waters kept getting higher and higher until finally everybody was gone and swept away by the flood. Everybody but Noah and his family. And you know, they were in that ark, and it just came sailing by. And the Bible tells us that God did something unusual. The dark storm clouds were there. The rains had stopped. And there was a rainbow that appeared. You know, the other day when it had rained so much, I noticed and I told Virginia, I said, look there, there's a rainbow. God tells us he's not going to destroy the world by a flood anymore. And I know that some folks thought, boy, you know, he forgot what he promised. No, he didn't. The rainbow is his sign of mercy. But the next time the world is destroyed, and it will be destroyed one more time, understand that. This old world is not built to last. It's wearing out. And the Bible said he will destroy it by fire. It will rain fire and brimstone from heaven. The fire of God's wrath will come. And it will bring death and destruction on the face of this earth. But you know, it happened, the flood happened at a time when it said they married, they gave in marriage, they built, they sold. In other words, it's business as usual. And then the flood came. And what God had said was going to happen, happened just the way God said it was going to happen. Everybody died that was not in that ark, and there were 8 souls saved in the ark. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You know, the same signs that we saw back in that day, we see them today. I'm sure you'd have to be blind not to see that our world is worse now than it seemed like it's ever been. God cannot wait much longer, or he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming. Judgment is just around the corner. But you know, when you become a Christian and you stand before the Lord, you don't stand in the judgment of the white throne, but you stand before God to receive your reward. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those that come before him at the white throne judgment, they stand condemned. And there's no more opportunity for them to get their life straightened out. It's all over. Wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it be awful to know that you spurned your last chance? And I believe that if there's somebody here that says no to the Lord and you continue on in your sins and you die that way and you stand before God in your sin, you'll remember this service. You'll remember God calling and tugging on your heart and the preacher preaching the word of God to you. You'll remember. Yes. You know, the thing that you need to do if you're not ready to meet the Lord, if you're not sure that all is well in your soul, you need to come to the Lord today. Brethren, time's passing. And what we do, we need to do quickly. I'm convinced that we better be ready. He might come today, he might come tomorrow, but I can tell you he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Let's bow for prayer.